Blog Talk Radio.
Recruiting Animal here on a laid back June 24th, 2020. June 24, 2020. Here's something funny. I was going to talk my intro about prayers today, okay? Because I see a lot of requests for prayers on social media. But yesterday on Twitter, a guy said his grandmother has Alzheimer's and he asked us to pray for her. So I asked on Facebook if smart recruiters should be asking their social media connections to pray for their business during the virus. And lots of people said yes. And I'm going to read you some of quotes, some of the things they said. But I have to tell you, if you're listening to this, I want you to pray for me right now because the guest is Mitch Sullivan over in England. And, he's logged in, but I can't hear him. He had to get off once and he called back in and I still can't hear him. So while I'm talking about, these people who pray for their job orders, please pray for me. Okay. Anyway, here's what one person says. I know for a fact the only reason my business has thrived at times or came out of a slump is because of prayer. Okay, another person. Prayer is essential and the foundation of many businesses. Maybe you shouldn't ask on social media every day, but asking when truly necessary, hey, why not? Here's another quote. I pray before I start my day and then I meditate. Wow, double whammy there. Okay, getting in the right headspace works for me. Another quote, I pray for my candidates, my clients, and my colleagues, and it works. So there you have it. I have to admit, I don't do it, and I didn't think that anybody else did either, right? But hey, there's a unique survey of the recruiting world from Jerry!
The Recruiting Animal Show!
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you so much. And now I'm going to thank my sponsors. The new sponsor, everybody, maybe you remember, Adams, Evans, and Ross, okay? They are the collection agency for the recruiting business, okay? They only work for recruiters, so they understand what's going on. And if you place an account for collection with them during this month, the month of June, you'll get 30 days free on their software called Backdoor Hires. And that, it's like a, I don't know, some kind of software that looks for your placements and finds, candidates of yours that have been hired with your clients but that you haven't been paid for, okay? Anyway, you can find this company at staffingdebt.com, okay? Now I'm going to go to my good old friend, PCRecruiter.net. They are the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software, very customizable, good for every kind of recruiting. HireTool, HireTual.com, the super-duper sourcing tool that every great recruiter raves about. And if somebody wants to disagree with me about that, I challenge them to come on this show and do it. And finally, Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T. com, the online interview technology, man, it records your interview in video, audio, text, and it also lets you create these little clips that you could send to a hiring manager or someone on the hiring committee. Okay, I'll get back to them later. Now, remember I said pray. I'm going to pray for a second, too, that Mitch Sullivan, that I can hear him. Mitch Sullivan, are you there?
Hello.
Mitch.
Hello.
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me,
good.
Mitch?
Finally.
I can,
Mitch,
yes.
Did you phone in on a regular phone? Is that how you're connecting
well,
with
I
the
had
show?
To. I had
okay,
to.
You know
I
what?
Had no other choice.
Okay, I'm just going to tell you, the show will pay for that call, okay? You tell me after the show how much it costs. I'll pay you on PayPal because it's happened to me before, okay? Okay. So,
there's no need, honestly. There's no need.
No. Okay, we'll talk about it later. I just want everybody to – I'm virtue signaling. I want everybody to know I'm a nice guy, okay? And I won't be paying anyway. Adams, Evans – actually, Adams and Evans and Rosto won't be, but those other guys will. Okay, although I have to admit, I haven't billed them for a year and a half. I'm a goof. Okay, Mitch, I'm going to start you off with an intro, okay? His Twitter address, if you want to criticize him, M-I-T-C-H Sullivan, S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N. And if you're Hungarian, it reads Mitch Sullivan, okay? But if you're an Anglophone, it's Mitch Sullivan. His company is FastTrackRecruitment.com. He's got another one called Copywriting for Recruiters. I bet a lot of people don't know how to spell copywriting, but I'm not going to spell it for you. Any other?
They're not my target. They're not my target market. People can't spell.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. Okay, the people who don't write well, they need you, Mitch. Okay, Mitch is you're a recruiter. You're still a hands-on recruiter, but you like to teach copywriting. Is there anything else that I should say about you to start off with?
Yeah. Look, I don't do as much recruiting as I did 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. I started the copywriting training 5 years ago, so it's been fully road tested, and we've just
yeah, okay,
put it
online.
Yeah, okay,
that's enough.
So that
I said you're a recruiter and a copywriter.
Sorry.
I mean, hold on. You know what? You're teaching us how to write. You should be able to edit your own elevator speech, so there's no need for any extraneous, superfluous stuff. You know what you're doing now? I'm going to use a term that you will discuss because I read it in your stuff. It's called bulleting. You're putting in all this padding that we don't need, okay? I'm going to give you a tough question. Here's something you said
on
Twitter.
Time. Go on.
Here's what you said on Twitter. I bet a lot of motivation trainers and coaches are having to smell their own farts at the moment. That's karma. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, they're indoors on their own and they have to motivate themselves.
Oh, they have to eat their own dog food. Is that's what you're saying, right?
Well, okay, so we got some cultural nuance there, but yeah, basically, exactly that.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. I never heard that before. It's not bad.
Why are you picking on all my non-recruitment tweets, by the way?
No, I didn't pick. That's the only one. I've quoted one, okay? And I did one before you came on the show that I cut. Come on. That's a unique. You know, your whole thing is about having unique, cute lines to draw people in. This one was unique. I've never heard it before, so I'm trying to draw people into the show. I'm just feeding your back all the lessons I learned from you, and you're criticizing me for them, okay? Here's something else that you're going to criticize me for. You tweeted this. What company career pages need? I should have cleared this with you, but I like it, okay? What company career pages need more of is pictures of young, pretty, smiling, ethnically diverse people who don't actually work at the company. You want to comment on that, or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic about predominantly recruitment agency sites who populate the pages with people that don't work there. I just don't understand why you wouldn't put pictures of your actual staff on the website. I mean, you take it on your phone and upload it. It'd take about 10 minutes. So I just don't see what they're trying to do. Are they trying to create this image that everyone's pretty and beautiful and suspiciously ethnic?
Yeah, and that's why their videos, although mostly in the past, but I saw one, a company video like this recently where everybody's dancing, okay, like they're having fun all day instead of working. That was a good tweet, Mitch. It was witty. I'm complimenting you on it, okay? Please don't complain about me. I know what I'm doing, okay?
I know you do. I wasn't really complaining. Like I said, I'm trying to fill up time.
Okay. Don't worry. We got lots of time. We got lots of meat to deliver. We don't need padding. What does this mean?
Okay.
Not all jobs sell themselves. Now, I'm asking you things I didn't understand. What does that mean, not all jobs sell themselves?
Well, jobs don't sell themselves. Most people.
You know what? Hold on to that. We'll come back. Hold on. We'll come back. In fact, I'll stop asking you stuff that I don't understand. I'll read stuff that you said that I think is very powerful. Okay? The primary function of a recruiter should be to sell jobs. It doesn't matter where or how they sell it, but they have to be able to persuade the right types of candidates to apply for a job or to agree to go for an interview. If they can't sell a job, they're little more than administrators. Now, I got to tell you, I've got people on the show, and I always ask them, can you persuade people? Is part of your job persuading people? And they say no, okay? So I like it. Well, you can't. It was very well written, okay? So I don't know if you want to talk about that, but
okay,
that's your...
Well, here's just a bit of background to the thinking. When I came into recruitment 30-odd years ago, every candidate and client relationship started from the phone. Now they all start from a keyboard. So the ability to construct content and sentences is more critical than it's ever been. And given that in the age we live in now, it's very rare for a candidate to react positively to a phone call on the first call. They're going to generally need to see something in a message or an email or an ad, yeah, before they've got in their heads a justification or a reason to talk to the recruiter. So the ability to position a job in terms that mean something to that candidate, I think, is critical. Well, I know it is.
Okay. So here's something else you said. You said recruiters lie about job ads. This is their pitch, their business development pitch to companies. They say the best candidates aren't browsing job ads because they're too busy being good at their current jobs. We specialize in finding candidates who are not on the market, okay? You're saying that's not true at all. It's easier to get passive candidates through ads than on the phone. The most productive. I'll quote you, and I'll let you talk.
I'm not saying that. Recruitment's complicated and nuanced, and a lot of it depends on geography, the type of job, the state of the market.
Oh, give me a break. Okay, you said I'm quoting you now.
Well,
now you're opposing me.
No, I'll explain what I meant by that.
No, you let me talk. I want to challenge you first, then you can explain, because you talk too much. The most productive way of selling a job is via written content. That's what you said a minute ago, no phone, written content. And then you also said again and again, 60% of the people who look at ads are passive candidates, okay? So.
Yep.
With these recruiters who say, you need us because people who are good, they're not looking at job ads, that's not true. People who have jobs are reading the ads, and you have to be able to write to appeal to them. That's your shtick, isn't it? Now criticize me.
No, I wasn't going to criticize you, Animal. I was just going to give a little bit more thinking, a little bit more color to the thinking. But most people who say, well, we don't run ads because we headhunt, is nonsense, really, because, you know, at some point they're going to have to share some information with the people they're headhunting. And these days, most headhunt contacts start with a message or an email. They don't start with a phone call. But even if they did start with a phone call, and I did this a few weeks back, I rang 9 people working for a competitor, for a client I was filling a job for, and none of them wanted to talk straight away, but I was just getting their permission that I could send them an email, so they could read something, digest it, and then we can have another chat. So anyone who says they don't rely on ads is kind of talking out the corner of their mouth, because they're relying on written content at some point in the sales process.
Okay, well, that's different,
and like I said in that blog you mentioned, if somebody says, well, ads don't work, we headhunt, then, well, you know, what are you sharing? How are you selling the job? You don't read out the job ad to them over the phone or the job description.
Okay, what you're doing now, Mitch, what you're doing now, hold on, you're trying to sell the idea that everything in the ultimately is written down. Written, everything has to be written down and written well. But the point I was making that surprised me, you're claiming that there's a whole world of semi-passive, well, let's call them semi, they're not totally passive, they're semi-passive candidates, they're people who are working, but they are the bulk of people actually reading the ad. So when you're writing an ad, You're not writing for people who are desperate job hunters. You're writing for these people, and that's why you have to do a good job on your writing, okay?
Yeah, desperate candidates will apply for any job they think they can do. But the people that don't are in jobs they don't need to leave are going to have to be persuaded somehow, even if it's just an extra $10,000 a year. But there's got to be something on the ad that makes them think, actually, that job looks
better
than
the
one I'm doing.
Well, hold on a second. No, the money, you said it's rarely money they're looking for, okay?
That normally comes in about fifth or sixth when people are surveyed as to what their primary work-related motivators are or their motivators for changing jobs. It normally comes
what are they looking for? What are they really looking for?
Well, where people get confused, let me just finish off explaining the money thing. Because a lot of people think, oh, yeah, it's all about money when changing jobs. It's only about money if the candidate perceives themselves to being underpaid for the work that they do. Then that's that becomes a prime motivator. But for most people, it's other things.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to read some stuff, and we're going to get to the sex company you were working with, okay? Because that's the highlight of the show. Okay, now...
Well, just for complete transparency, I wasn't working directly with that client. A recruiter that I was coaching was working with that client. And I also didn't write the ad. I got a copywriter to write it. I just
briefed them. Really? Okay. Well, the thing is, though, it illustrates, whoever did it, it illustrates what you're talking about, okay? Now, you said that the average job ad is all about what the hiring company wants, and you call that demand language. And demand language, which is a good term, I like it, is only appealing to people who are desperate job hunters. This 60% of readers who want a better job, not any job, you know, they don't respond to demand language. Now, this is what I gathered from reading your stuff. Your main trick seems to be a cute opening line. Okay, so I'll let you dispute that, but I'm going to give the opening line. There was a digital marketing manager job for a pornography company, if I understand correctly, and they couldn't get anybody because people didn't want to go around to their family. What are you doing? I'm a digital marketing manager for the sex industry. So the first line in this ad was, are you comfortable with your sexuality? Okay, you can take it from there, Mitch. Go ahead. Why was that good? And did it work?
Okay. It absolutely worked. We went with that line, although it looks clickbaity in and of itself. As you saw in the rest of the ad, it's completely relevant. We chose that opening line because we needed to do two things. We needed to put off anyone that wasn't comfortable working in the sex industry as quickly as possible, rather than wasting time reading their CVs, having screening conversations, and then having them decide they didn't want to pursue it. And we chose it also because we knew it would intrigue people and they'd keep reading. And that's the job of the opening sentence, is simply to get people to want to keep reading.
Okay. I have a tip for you, okay? You are so virulent in your writing. You've always been like one of the nastiest recruiting writers, okay? It's always fuck this and fuck that and whatever. I get you on the show. You sound like a puppy dog. Come on, can't you put any – don't actually follow my instructions. I just thought, remember.
I was gonna say, if you want me to swear, I'm all over that.
No, I don't want you to swear. There was a guy on, okay, who was also extremely nasty on Facebook, and Jerry and I couldn't believe it once he got on the show. He was so nice. So halfway through the show, we started bugging him to be the self that we knew, right? So he thought that meant swearing. So he started swearing. Somebody called his employer and said, "Look how this guy's representing you. So don't follow my advice." That was a disaster for me.
I'd argue that nasty is really probably not the right word. I think I'm direct.
You are mean. You are nasty. Okay. You are mean and nasty and fractious and captious, every synonym that goes with those fighting. You're always ready to fight. That's what it sounds like. I can't believe, honestly, every time you open your mouth now, I can't believe it's you. This is Mitch Sullivan.
You say
this little puppy dog.
There's a difference. Anyway,
here's another line. Okay, I took from you. You post some ads for recruiting jobs in your Twitter feed, and so I copied the lines. Okay, do you ever get bored just working one niche to the point where every day seems like Groundhog Day? That was pretty good, I have to tell you. Okay, so you wrote that, or somebody wrote it for you?
I haven't written a job ad in 7 or 8 years, but for 2012-14, I wrote a lot, especially mm-hmm. back in the pre-internet days where I uh-huh. learned the craft. Because you're probably old enough to remember display ads were expensive, so you had to make them work as hard as possible. But no, I use copywriters now because it's some of the best money I spend, because they do it better than me, faster than me, and I don't think they charge enough. So yeah.
Okay, so there's two issues I'd like you to discuss now, okay? But I'm going to just mention our sponsors again, but I'll give you the question so you can – hey, let me just check. Graham and Michael G. Cox are here. Am I on the right track with this guy? Am I talking about relevant things? Do you have any complaints so far about the show? Okay, Jerry's not here to stab me in the back.
Not doing very well.
No. Yeah, okay. I think the only thing that I would say is – you guys were talking about it's not about the money. It never is about the money, or it rarely is, or maybe not as often as people would suspect. I think the money really doesn't matter, because if the job's not right, then it doesn't matter. And if it is the right job for you, then they're probably going to be able to put the right offer in front of them. So it's annoying sometimes when the candidate just asks about money. I usually say it doesn't matter, because if it's not the right job – no need.
Well, you
to
know, Michael G. Cox. Michael G. Cox. That's MikeRecruiter.com. His name's Michael G. Cox. I'm just going to address that for a second, okay? I think I've seen these guys. People complain on Twitter. They say, I don't like it when I ask a recruiter how much it is, and they're shifting this way and that, and they're putting off talking to me directly about the money. Okay, so that's one issue. Okay, I think money's always an issue, and it seems to me if you're headhunting good people, you got to give them something worth it, even if it's an exciting job. I mean, I don't think they want to. Sometimes they'll move for less or a lateral move, but I don't think it's good. We'll talk about that later. Okay, I want to tell you about PC Recruiter. I was going to tell Mitch, sorry, everybody, I'm losing my mind. I was going to tell Mitch the questions I wanted to ask him, okay? What's the principle? I told you, I like that line from Groundhog Day. You're bored working one niche. This is for a sourcing job, by the way. Are you bored working just one niche, what's the principle there? What's the, how do people come up with a cute line that draws people in, Mitch? I want you to address that, if you can. Maybe there's, you've never formulated it as a general rule. And I can't see, I've been blabbing so much about extraneous things, I can't remember about copywriters. I want you to tell us about them, how much they charge, why you think they're good, what your experience with them is, how you find them, and stuff like that. Okay, right now I just want to mention PCRecruiter.net, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. HireTool, HireTual.com, the super-duper sourcing tool every great recruiter raves about. Honeit, HoneiT.com, the online interview recording technology, and StaffingDebt.com, the collection agency for the recruiting business. Mitch, over to you. Do you remember the questions? Because I remember them now.
Yeah, I do. So how do you come up with what you describe as cute headlines? Was that the question?
Yeah, that pretty much is it.
Okay. Look, it's a relatively advanced feature of the training, so we're kind of getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but essentially you decide before you try and sell a job, you have to, at the briefing stage, get reasons why somebody might want to leave a job to come and do that one. Valid reasons. So it could be 100 things. It could be a smaller commute. It could be a bigger canvas, bigger challenge. It could be better training, good boss, whatever. Yeah, but whatever it is, whatever those things are that you identify, you pick one that you think you're going to lead with, and then just find another way of saying it. But so this is to some extent reliant on people's own creative abilities. But it's just finding a way of expressing it that's more likely to arouse curiosity. I call it a pattern disruptor, something that most people are not going to be used to seeing as the first line of a job ad, which then gets them into the ad to keep reading more. Do you want me to give you a couple
of
examples?
Are you comfortable with your sexuality? That should be the first line in every job ad. Wow.
Let me give you an example. So let's say that there's a lot of mobility in the company, and the reason the vacancy exists is because the person who was doing it got promoted. You could the feature is the reason for the vacancy is internal promotion, but a better way of saying that in the first line of the ad is this could not only be your next job, but the one after that as well.
That's not bad, but here on another posting, you just put, "Are you an agency recruiter looking to move in house?" That's as bland as it could be. I'm wondering why. Go ahead.
Was it in an ad or was it in a social media?
It was on a tweet, and you attached the ad to a link to the ad. Now that's very straightforward. Okay, now it's blunt, but it's not poetic or anything like that. There's no flair. It's very direct though.
Well, it's direct because anyone who is working agency side that thinks they might want to go and work client side is more likely to click on it. And then once they click on it, I can't remember what the ad looked like, but you know, I don't put out ads that don't follow the right structures. Then it would have encouraged them to keep reading.
Okay,
so,
I got this next line from reading some of your stuff, but you didn't use it as a. I just want to make clear you didn't use this, or none of your copywriters use this as a come on line. But are you one of those people who had a plan until you got punched in the face? I love that. I know that line, but I love it. I think it would make a good opener for the right job. Would you agree with me?
Absolutely, yeah, it is a good line, and it's probably instantly recognizable, but it has to be relevant to a feature of the job that you particularly want to sell. So what could that be? You know, if you were in a job where the carpet keeps getting pulled from under you or things keep changing, you know, here it won't happen. Yeah?
Or it's a bait and switch situation where they offer you one thing, but you get another.
Well,
okay, now, here's a bunch of lines.
You can do that at the beginning of each fiscal year, like either in July or maybe late June, maybe in December, you can run that when sales executives are about to receive their new comp plans.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, you sound a little livelier today than usual, Michael G. Cox. I mean, you're one of the most laid-back people, but you got a little extra pep today. Congratulations. I like that. Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay. Mitch. According to you, but here's the bad stuff. So we've given a few good lines, but Mitch also lists bad stuff. According to you, these lines suck, okay? Be responsible for leading the full portfolio of change across the organization. What's wrong with that?
Well, it's lifted from a job spec. It's too formal. It doesn't really say anything. It can apply to 100 different scenarios. It's not specific. It's jargon.
Okay.
A human being wrote it. It sounds like it was just cut and pasted from a job spec. And if the rest of the ad looks like that as well, I would argue that the better candidates are not going to even read halfway through it.
I haven't got to it, but he's created a whole vocabulary of stuff. Like that's called sort of bulletproofing. Those are posting superfluous items, right? That don't really
mean
anything. You saw
the ad campaign, the dictionary ad campaign, yeah?
Yeah. Okay, did somebody else,
you get that problem when people or companies, let's say, really recruiters and HR internally, just don't realize the difference between a job description and a job posting or job advertisement.
Yeah.
No, but I never understood the job. No, I still, in fact, I still don't understand the difference because you have to tell someone what they're going to do. I don't know. That's the problem with this.
Animal. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be the legal mumbo jumbo and
okay, that's
the
a different
boring
thing. Yeah,
well,
I agree with you.
Also, the job description or the job specification has a place. It just doesn't have its place at the front end of the process. That the ad is to encourage people to want to find out more. Once you get the candidate to a point where they go, yeah, this sounds interesting, then you send them the job spec. But you've already engaged with them, and they're then far more likely to read the job spec once they've invested in thinking this might be a good job for me than they would if you stick it in an ad.
Yeah.
Because when someone's casually browsing to see if there might be a better job out there, they're not going to read 800 words of a job spec.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, Michael Chigars. One thing. Okay, so you're telling us you have to be seductive at the start. That's what I'm hearing from you, okay? You have to be seductive.
That's your choice of word. I wouldn't have chosen that word. I would say that you've got
Why
to...
Why not? You're the one who brought sex into it. You're the one who brought sex into this whole thing, okay, with that porno company.
Maybe that
doesn't mean that's got to radiate across all job ads, Animal. What I am saying is that you've got to speak to the self-interest of the candidates that you're trying to reach.
Yeah, listen to me for a second. Okay, so you don't use the word seduction, although it is absolutely the right word, okay? But the point is, you just said, okay, you don't have to list the specific functions at the front. But after you have that cute opening line, what are you going to say if you're not going straight into the talk about the job? I don't know what you're going to be talking about.
You're going to be telling them aspects of the job that they're going to enjoy, that they're going to get something out of, that they feel is going to progress their career in some way. You talk about the candidate, you don't talk about the company.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. So Michael G.
Company,
Cox, were you trying? Michael G. Cox, were you trying to talk? Were you trying to add something?
No.
Okay. So you know what? I don't have a clue what that means about talk about the candidate. Don't talk about the company. That candidate knows who they are. I have to talk about the company. I have to say this is
what we
want you to do, so you can decide if that's what you're going to like. Now, hey everybody, I'm going to read a bit of this porno ad. Okay, marketing manager up, and it says right at the top. This isn't something we've addressed yet. Up to 70,000 pounds in Amsterdam, okay? It starts off, are you comfortable with your sexuality? We're not talking about what way you swing, although we do sell swings. We're talking about sex because we're comfortable with it. But that's easy for us to say because our client is a company name, one of the largest international adult omnichannel retailers, and they've asked us to help them find a talented and progressive marketing manager. It's funny, but when the subject of sex turns up, a lot of people can feel a little uncomfortable. Okay, so that whole thing is sort of unique to this situation. I can't imagine what would go there.
It's divisive. You're even mentioning the pay, the location and the swing, all of that stuff is divisive to weed out everybody that eventually you're not going to need to speak to anyway.
But hold on, if it's for an account manager like you have, or like a bookkeeper like Mitch talks about elsewhere, what's going to go in there? I mean, he can't talk about sex, you know, if it's a bottle cap company. Okay, what are you going to put in that's seductive?
What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's a job ad for a marketing manager to work for an adult products company. And if you carried on reading, the basic pitch here is, you know, are you comfortable with sex as a subject? You're going to need to be because you're going to probably need to change people's perception, like your friends and your family. And if you can't do that, then you're probably not that great a marketer.
Hold on a second, Mitch. Let me explain it to you in English, okay, what I'm saying. I'm saying that you said, yeah, you have to tell the person, list the job functions, but not at the start of the ad, okay? Now, I'm saying with this ad, with this company, you had something unique and special to talk about. But normally, what's going to go in an ad at the beginning if it's not going directly to the job function? Do you understand what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I do. So whatever the benefit to the candidate is, or benefits are, you talk about those in the opening 40-50% of the ad. So you'll enjoy working here because you'll get the chance to lead a blah blah blah. You'll learn how to. You'll develop your skills. You'll receive lots and lots of training. You'll get an annual training. But all that kind of stuff that tells them what's in it for them. And then once they invest and they think, yeah, this is the kind of thing that sounds interesting, they're far more likely to read the yes to the ad, which is going to tell them what they're going to need to qualify to do the job and a little bit about the company.
Yeah, okay, let me cut you off. You know what?
I
agree with everything everybody criticizes about me. I am dumb, okay? And you talk in generalities. I can't figure out the specifics that is, oh, yeah, you have to talk about this, and oh, what's in it for the guy? Well, yeah, that doesn't mean anything to me. Just like you say.
Do you want me to go and find another ad and read it out to you?
Yeah, sure. Sure, but I just want to say, wait, just let me give a shout-out. I see Carla RT'd the announcement for the show, so if she's listening, I just want to say hello to my good friend Carla Porter. I've known her on social media for many years. She's a very nice person, and I met her in person as well. Okay, so hi, Carla. Okay, back to you, Mitch. Mitch, the fighter.
Hey,
the fighter's coming out. Yeah, you don't like that? I'll read you another ad. Okay, show me, Mitch. Go ahead.
Right. Okay. The opening to an ad for a senior business, a senior salesperson selling stationery. Okay. And what we're selling here is more money. Do what you like. No one's going to manage you. That's what we're pitching. Okay. Headline: here's proof that you're not earning what you're worth. Ask yourself this: are you ready to earn what you're really worth, including a high guaranteed base salary that reflects your value to our business and a commission scheme that keeps on paying, however successful you become? And would you like to run your own sales program your way without constant interference and endless red tape? If so, we think we might be the right company for you. Now,
okay, got
anyone
another?
Who reads that far and it speaks to things that they want, they're going to keep reading right to the end.
Okay.
I think it speaks to pain. If you start with pain, and it obviously
exactly.
In that ad,
Michael gets it.
This guy is tired of being micromanaged. He's tired of doing things somebody else's way. He's going to be interested in reading more.
Yeah,
okay.
Mike gets it.
Yeah, Mike. Okay. but hold on. The thing is every company going to have some way to solve your pain? Are they? Do you have another one?
Yeah,
hold on.
Let me
look up in my notes. I got from you. You said somewhere. You know, you ridiculed something about double book. I know what it was, that they were trying to make bookkeeping sound really exciting, and you ridiculed them for it. So now I want to see. Oh, I can't find it. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I want to see. You know how jobs are that are not so exciting. How you handle the ads for them. Here it is. Hold on. You call it. This is his term. I'm sorry we haven't even got to it. He'll come on another time. It's called saucing, okay? This is what he calls, and he's got a vocabulary for the different aspects of writing jobs. Saucing, he says, injecting lascivious, there he goes again with the sex, injecting lascivious vocabulary such as desire, exciting, passionate, where they do not belong. For instance, are you passionate about double entry bookkeeping? I want to see how the introduction to a job about double entry bookkeeping is going to, you know, entice someone or solve their pain. Well, can you give me some examples for dull jobs?
Well, I've never taken a job for a bookkeeper, but in fact, I ran an ad for a payroll officer once, which I guess is in the same territory. But it's a question of finding out what exists about that job or that team or that department or the boss or whatever that everyone agrees could be a benefit to the type of person they're looking to attract. Yeah, whatever that might be, it might be something as banal as a beautiful staff canteen. Or it could be, you know, it's in a rural location and lovely views out of the office. Whatever it is, that's what you lead with.
Okay. Now, hold on a sec. Before I forget, I want you to tell us about copywriting, since you think hiring copywriters is a good practical thing to do. But first, the last time Mitch was on, and it was years and years ago, I have a classic clip from there. We had a big fight. And he was good. He was fighting then, right? He was mad. Okay. So it's going better this time. But he got in touch with me. I mean, I was surprised. He said, I want to come on the show. I said, why? He says, I want to promote my business. So if you want to do an ad for yourself right now, go ahead, Mitch.
copywritingforrecruiters.com. That's it. It says everything.
I think
you
already
have done that. Website is all about. Thank you.
Okay, so copywritingforrecruiters.com. I'll give Mitch a tip, okay, because I'm a social media giant. When you write that in your at the end of your emails or in your articles, I would put capitals for the first letter of the word. So the C, the F, and the R, they would be capitalized, so it's easy to read. If you've got three words and it's all lowercase letters, it's hard. Now, again, maybe it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with my brain. I'm not going to deny that. But this is what I believe is true of everybody else as well. Okay? Can you start talking about copywriters? How do you find them? How do you judge who's, you know, good? Is it trial and error? How much should you be paying? I know you're in the UK, so you can tell us rates over there.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Right. Well, I've just developed a little portfolio of copywriters. Most of them are recruitment-specific copywriters. I've got, I don't know, 8 or 9 that I regularly use. And different recruitment copywriters tend to be better at different types of assignments. So a lot depends on what's the job, what's the sector, how brave are the company prepared to be in terms of the tone of voice, the language, how they sell the job. And then I pick the one that I think is going to be the most appropriate. I give them very good briefs, which makes their job a lot easier. I put it all in writing as well, so they can sort of chew on it and not just have to make notes. They then send me a first draft. I edit it, and then I tweak it if you know, because I'm not a bad writer myself, so I may play with it, and then I pay them, and off we go. In terms of cost, typically for one job ad, you're in US dollars, you're probably looking at around $200, $220 an ad.
Mm-hmm. And how long does it take to get it done?
Well, based on when I used to do it, you take the brief, you do the research, you do some thinking, you write some ideas down, you leave it, you come back to it the next day, you have another go, then you start writing, and then you sit on it and go back to it again later, and then polish it off, and if you think it's good, you send it to the client. So
what's that, 3 days?
3 hours.
What's that, 3 days?
3 hours. Well, in time, 2 to 3 hours.
Okay, yeah, in time, that's, you know, for they're calculating that when they bill it, but if they're taking all these walks and thinking, what does it take from start to finish? Over the course of 3 days, is that what we're talking about, or a day or 2 days?
Well, it depends on who the copywriter is and how urgent it is for me, but I normally give them a week.
Oh, you give them, okay, good, fine. See, I got to, everybody, I have to pull the answers out of these guests sometimes. Now, if somebody
earlier,
is...
you were telling me I was talking too much. Come on.
Okay. Yeah, you did talk, but you just like you said, it was you didn't say anything, okay? Now, here's the thing. So if somebody needs a copywriter, they can get in touch with you at copywritingforrecruiters. Okay. Oh, you won't send a referral?
No,
why don't you send a referral and charge,
job,
why don't you charge
they...
a referral fee? Why don't you charge these copywriters a referral fee if you're promoting them?
Well, because I don't see the point. It wouldn't be that much, and I'm a big fan of recruiters trying to make their content better. So anything helps them do that, I'll push them in that
direction.
You're a
great guy.
Okay,
so could some of your people actually do work for people in North America or other European countries as well? Yeah? Okay, so you can get in touch with...
I have an ad. Sorry, go on.
Well, you can get in touch with Mitch and hope that, you know, they don't put words like petrol or spell things with their own funny way over from England. Or let's say you're looking for a recruiter wherever you live, okay? It might be Latvia, might be Bulgaria, okay? How do you find a copywriter. How do you find a copywriter? You go to Upwork or some website or for those freelance websites, whatever? Fiverr?
Well, first of all, there must be a ton of decent copywriters in the U.S., so I'm sure you would be able to find...
How do you find them?
Well, you just go on LinkedIn and type in copywriter, and then they'll
locate
you
into
LinkedIn.
Okay, there you go. Okay, and then they should post samples then, right? Is that the thing?
Yeah, most copywriters will give an overt demonstration of their ability to write, if only in their LinkedIn profile or on their website. And if you don't like what they write, you move on and find someone else.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Some specialize in certain areas. Some people are better technical writers. Other people are better in softer areas. So it just depends, you know.
Okay. Okay. Now, I've got areas that I want to go to, but is there anything that I haven't raised yet that you feel that you would like to talk about?
No, not at all. I'm completely in your hands.
Okay. So you...
I'm curious. I got a question for him.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Okay, that's so, the super duper... Wait a second. MikeRecruiter.com, the super duper sales recruiter. Okay? There you go.
I'm an ex-sales recruiter myself. So.
Oh, yeah. I feel your pain. I'm curious, because I ran into this a lot when I was at a very large organization with legal, trying to get involved in writing all of this.
Right.
And it got to the point where I just didn't run things by them and chose to apologize after I had already filled the job. Do you do work with larger organizations? And if so, how have you navigated that stuff?
Okay. That's a great question. That's a great question. The answer, first answer is I don't anymore, but I used to. And I have been in that exact same situation where a hiring manager or a head of a department because when you run an ad with the client's name on it, you've got to run it by them first. But you know, if I'm running a creative ad selling a client's job and it doesn't mention who they are, then they have no rights over its content. I decide. But if it's got their name on it, they've got to approve it. And yes, they've interfered. Some people have interfered and changed the entire ad so it only talks about them. You have to stand up and say, this is not going to happen. Here's why. This will only work if you are confident there are lots of available candidates out there desperately looking for this kind of job, or because you're a big company, you think there are lots and lots of people out there that have already decided they want to work for you.
Yeah, you've got a name for that, don't you? You got to hold on. He's got a name for that. Institutional arrogance, right? Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. And look, some big companies can get away with it. The obvious ones, you know, Apple, Google, whatever. But that kind of trickles down to a lot of very average companies who think
anymore with all the bad press that they're getting. Facebook and people like that
just have to give them time.
Yeah.
Okay. Carla is enjoying the show. Carla is enjoying the show. Just so you know, she gave us a little feedback. Okay. So Michael G. Cox, sorry, were you finishing up there? Yes.
Yes, yeah, just yes, it does, perfectly. I'm curious, from your current role, when you're kind of training recruiters on copywriting, do you have any recruiters that are currently on the corporate side at large companies that deal with that kind of junk?
Sorry, say that. Any recruiters that work for large
Any people in your class working for corporations, or are they all boutique recruiters?
No, it's about a 60-40 split between agency and in-house, and I would say a majority of the in-house recruiters that have done the training, I would say majority, probably 60%, have worked for non-branded, well-known corporates. Majority, maybe a little bit higher.
Okay, here's a question. Wait. Here's a question that you've raised yourself, Mitch Sullivan, that relates to what Michael G. Cox has just been talking about. You've got an article called Is There a Place for Swearing in Recruitment Advertising? Now, he's talking about legal issues, but there's also branding issues, right? Now, you just said that your clients don't seem to work for, you know, big branded companies, so maybe it's a little different. But you want to tell us a little bit about swearing in advertising?
Blimey, you have done your research, haven't you? most of the time I would advise against swearing in an ad, but, you know, especially if it's gratuitous. However, if it's reflective of the tone of voice of that particular client, I don't see a problem with it, because in some ways you're prepping the reader for what it might be like to work at that company.
Do you have an example?
Saw a fantastic ad for a chef years ago that was peppered with the F word. But, you know, commercial kitchens have a reputation for being sweary environments, so it fitted. It worked. It didn't shock anyone.
Okay.
And it did work. It got hundreds and hundreds of of the
Yeah, I saw a video once, and it was for some kind of software developer. I guess it was young guys, and they were talking about terms like, you're going to piss your pants. You want to make
that as well.
Yeah, you want to make this person piss your piss her pants, and you want to shove this right up somebody else's ass and stuff like that. It was sometimes
that
it wasn't good.
Yeah, gratuitous, that one, when I saw it. That was about, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, maybe longer. Okay. And just so everybody, I got that, you know, I got that from a straight ahead, very nice HR person that we all know. Okay. She had the interest, a series about interesting ads. I didn't dig it up myself just to be perverse. Okay. I just want everyone to know. Okay. I got it from a respectable person, not someone like me. I got to do an ad. Speaking of ads, PCRecruiter.net. Man, they are customizable. They're good for every kind of recruiting, contact recruiting, direct recruiting, executive search, and you can customize the software to suit your own workflow. They don't impose their stuff on you, and they love you if you're a kitchen table recruiter in your mom's basement, or if you're in a big company on the top floor, way up there with a team of 20 recruiters and sourcers. Doesn't matter. If you're a recruiter, they love you. PCRecruiter.net. HireTual, HireTual.com. You go on Facebook to any recruiters group. If there's a discussion of sourcing software, there's lots of people raving about HireTual.com. Honeit, HoneiT.com. You and your candidate go to the website. You both plug in there. It does everything. It records the video, records the audio, turns everything into a searchable transcript, and it creates those little clips for the most important questions. Okay? Honeit, HoneiT.com. And our new sponsor, StaffingDebt.com, the collection agency for the recruiting business, with their backdoor hires detector as well. Okay. Let's go to some of your vocabulary. Jobsplaining. I like that. I like that, Mitch, jobsplaining. I complimented you so much during this show. I can't believe it. Jobsplaining. What's that?
I haven't got the ad in front of me, but it's, yeah. It's,
I'll tell you what it is. Okay, if you don't want, I'll tell you. It's telling the candidate.
Let me start.
Okay.
It's what you keep referring back to an ad campaign that I did for the course, and the theme of the ad was to pick bad habits that recruiters have when running job ads, and then to set them up as dictionary definitions with made-up words that we made up. So jobsplaining is the act of running an ad for an accountant, whereby you spend 400 words telling an accountant what an accountant does all day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, big list of tasks and responsibilities, and then you'll have this, you'll have that. None of it needs to be said if you're looking for an accountant earning $100,000 a year. That they self-select. You don't need to tell them, unless there's something particularly different about how accountancy is done at that particular place.
Okay, now you're getting, you know, we don't need padding. We're running out of time, and we're still talking, so
Sorry.
Don't worry about padding the show, okay? But still, Mitch, you still need a checklist of responsibilities, okay? Even if you don't have
not
to...
Not in the ad. No, not in the ad. If someone is interested, they'll respond. And there's one thing I do want to get in actually before we finish, because it's important. Yeah, we've been talking about all the stuff at the front end of the ad. Let's talk about the back end of the ad, which is commonly in advertising called the call to action. One of the biggest mistakes recruiters make is they run an ad. It's for a particularly tricky to fill job, so it's a tight candidate market. And they, at the end of the ad, they send, please send your resume to, or your CV to. And the problem with that ending is that somebody who's in a job they don't need to leave but looked at the ad and was quite interested won't have an up-to-date resume, so you run a big risk of losing them. So I had somebody email me just a few months back who said he made a £13,000 placement simply because he put at the end of the ad, if you don't have a CV, doesn't matter, just drop me an email here or give me a call. And somebody responded who said, I wouldn't have responded if it hadn't been for that.
Okay.
It's critical. You've got to get to the end. You've got to make it as easy as possible for qualified people to at least reach out to find out more, because that's when the real recruiting starts.
Okay. And well, then since
hey, the Animal, you talk about selling and in recruiting, I think the selling, you can't, I don't think you can sell a job that's huge, that's monumental, but I can sell this person on that next little baby step, the lowest
exactly
possible
that
level of commitment.
Yeah, a job ad is a lead generator. That's its primary job, is to generate leads. Whether that ad appears in a, on a job board, or as a status update on LinkedIn, or in an email, it's got to arouse curiosity for someone to think, yeah, I want to find out more. This sounds interesting. That's it. Once it's done that, the ad has done its job. Then you need to talk, converse, discuss, meet, share the job spec, blah blah blah.
Okay, final question. Final question. Now, in that in that sample of the marketing manager for the, you actually listed the up to a certain amount of money, £70,000. So, do you endorse putting the salary in the job ads all the time?
Yeah, that's a cultural thing. When I lived and worked in Switzerland, nobody ever put salaries on job ads at all. But over there, salaries were very negotiable. In the UK, they're a bit more fixed. And the culture here is, if people don't know what the salary is, at least approximately, then they're probably not going to apply.
Oh, really?
So
okay. Well, what if you put up
losing a big chunk?
What if you put up to 70, but then, you know, most people aren't going to get an offer of 70? Aren't they going to resent it when they know the top end?
Well, it depends who they are and what they're on. If somebody's currently on 50 and we think they're good enough to do the job and they've got potential to grow into the job, then logically they'll probably get 60, which will be agreeable to everybody, probably.
Okay, but
it,
you
it
know, most recruiters think that most candidates have inflated images of themselves and they think they're worth more than they really are. So if you tell them 70, I'm good for 70. What are you offering me 60 for? You're going to have a fight on your hands, right? And they might get insulted and turn it down. If they didn't know.
That's the recruiting job to manage.
Okay, well, you have to come back and tell us how to do that next time. So this is Mitch Sullivan on Twitter, MikeRecruiter.com. Graham Caulfield, the great Graham Caulfield, was here as well. I think he spoke, actually. He didn't say much, but he's a resume writer, expert resume man on Twitter. And Mitch, I loved having you. It was great. You have to come back sometime, okay? Thank you. Hey, everybody, thank you! Control again, please, and ask her a question.
You got to do something with this thing,
well,
man.
Do it.
It's dying here,
do it.
Animal.
Come on.
Please. Okay.
Has everybody heard about the virtual Christmas
Shut
party?
Up!
January 21st.
Shut
if not,
up!
Go to JerryTheRecruiter.com.
I will give you a chance if you ask me. Just don't butt in. I have not been able to talk for 5 minutes. Okay.
Forgive me.
Yeah, you got your whole show to blab for a half an hour. Give me a chance, will you? When I ask for it, at least.